Amen. 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 God is good and his mercy endureth forever. So on that note, I just want to echo some few things in the light of our finances. We are encouraging everybody, please don't hold back giving, but most importantly, give out of a cheerful heart and give with the right motive. Don't hold back giving, but most importantly, give with a cheerful heart and with the right motive. And also, yesterday we had an amazing time. We went water rafting. We went water rafting. I wasn't the first, but I was joint second. Yes, it was amazing. And by God's grace, we are going to have some park time. We are going to have some sports park time on the 2nd of, is that what we agreed on, 2nd September? Brother Joel, is that the agreement? 2nd September? Yes, we are going to have some park time on the 2nd of September. And just also to emphasize, since today we are having the kids with us, please try as much as possible to maintain order with very minimal movement. Let's make sure we are all seated and we don't have movement around to distract others in that regard. Father, thank you for today's sermon. We bless your name. We pray that, Lord, even as we are about to sit at your feet and eat of your word, Father, minister to our hearts that we may draw near to you, be convicted by your spirit to live more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn to someone, tell the person, building godly families. Turn to someone, tell the person, building godly families. That is our theme for today. We are trusting the Lord to focus on the importance of building godly families and how to build godly families. One thing we need to understand is that everything which is important needs building. If you have a business and it's important to you, you need to invest in building your business. If you are a student, you have to invest in your curriculum. You have to invest in your studies. Every single thing that will do well will need an investment of time, resources, and discipline. And the family is very important. The family is the foundation of society. The family is the basis on which every other development takes place. And in the light of that, we are going to focus on how do we build godly families? How do we ensure our families are godly? How do we ensure our families are blessing the name of the Lord and are serving the Lord? And the key scripture for today's sermon is from Joshua 24, verse 15b. Can we read together? 1, 2, 3, go. One more time. 1, 2, 3, go. Amen. Amen. So going forward, I want to just set the foundation right. And the first thing I really want us to understand is this. We are of the kingdom of God. We are of the kingdom of God. We are of the kingdom of God. And I read from 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You are called into the domain of the Father. You have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his glorious light. And in the light of that, there are some key things that we need to understand. And the first thing I wrote there is this. We are not of this world. Turn to someone on your right or on your left. Tell the person, we are not of this world. It is very important for us to understand that though we are in this world, we are not of this world. Though we are in this world, in the essence of living, but we are residents of a heavenly kingdom. And this speaks volumes because we are God's possessions. We are God's possessions. And the second point I wrote, we must understand the ways of our kingdom. That is, the ways of our kingdom, the culture of our kingdom, is not like the culture of this world. The way we do things as Christians is not the same way the people of this world do things. So the way you handle your family should be different from how people of the world will handle their family. And I said, love is the way. Love is the way. In our kingdom, the culture which is most eminent is love. The third point is total submission is a must. Every kingdom has a king, and every king has a rule and a domain. It's very important that we understand that in the light of this, submission is a must. We must be submitted to the lordship of our Lord Jesus Christ, even within the setup of our family. And one thing I also added in that line is that our Lord shall return. Our King will return to judge. He will come to judge. We will give account of how we lived our lives on earth. We will give account of how we handled our families. We will give account of how we lived our lives. And I summarized it with this. As kingdom ambassadors, we are called to be vessels of God's expression to all those around us and the world as a whole. This begins with the institution of family. I'll please call those at the back. Can we please be seated? Can we all at the back please be seated? Let's be seated. I wouldn't encourage us to be standing and walking about, please. Great. So in that light, the ability to express godliness speaks volumes of your representation on earth. You are here not to have fun. You are here to express the glory of God through your very existence. And this begins with your family. Can I get an amen? So what is the family? What is the family? What does the Bible say about the family? We read from Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 to 25. Follow me as I read. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the heavens, and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took out one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is the bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed. For this purpose, a man will leave his father and his mother. Father, which connotes masculinity, the male figure, and mother, which connotes femininity, in essence, of the female figure. The man will leave his father and his mother and will hold on fast to whom? His wife. That was the beginning of the family. The idea that God saw that Adam needed a companion. The idea that God saw that Adam was alone, and God made out of his rib a woman. So I defined a family. A godly family is a divine and human institution of a husband, a wife, and children that reveals the love and light of God through its existence. The reason why there is the idea of divine is because the institution of family was not man's idea. The institution of family is God's idea. And we go on to read Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to 28. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him male and female. He created them, and God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So here we see the function, the ordination of family. So in real time, we see that God created male and female, established them in the institution of family, and gave them a mandate. The mandate was to dominate and take dominion over the earth realm in the name of our Lord Jesus, even as they were productive and being fruitful. Very important to know these three things which I'm about to highlight. One, the family is the foundation of all of society. The family is the first institution. And that is the foundation for every aspect of society. Education, health, governance. Everybody is born into a family. And if the family stands, the society stands. The family is key to fruitfulness and productivity. The idea of fruitfulness is only permitted in godliness within the confines of the family. I'm going to say that again. The idea of fruitfulness is only permitted in godliness only within the confines of the family. That the only way that God permits procreation is within the confined family. And the idea of productivity, God has called us to be productive as human beings. Productivity means being able to multiply resources, being able to be good stewards, and it begins with the family. That is why we ought to understand the place of family, because every single person is born into a family. The corrupt politician was born into a family. The sex worker was born into a family. The cheat, the armed robber, was born into a family. And if the family should stand well, and if the family should train and educate its members, those that will be produced into society will be a blessing and not a burden. Research has shown that there is a high rate of delinquency amongst children who come from broken homes. That is why the family is important. That is why the father is important in the home. That is why the mother is important in the home. And we are going to understand more of that even as we continue. The family is critical to the expression of godly influence in the dying world. The idea of a standing church begins with a solid family. Church may meet only on Sundays, but the family can meet every day. That is why it's important for a family to be ingrained in the gospel and the teaching of God's word. Build up your family intentionally in the word of God. So let's go furthermore into the idea of functionalities. Why did God establish families? What does God demand of us? We continue. We go to Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 21 to 33. Wives and husbands, listen carefully. And I read, submitting to one another out of reverence of Christ. Submitting to one another out of the reverence of Christ. It goes on to say, wives, submit to your own husbands. It didn't say submit to other husbands. It says submit to who? Your own husband. Wives, submit to your own husband as the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water, which is the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it, cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound. I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects the husband. This needs no further explanation. But I will hasten to add this. The idea of marriage, again, is not the idea of man. There is a divine understanding that needs to be connoted to your service as a husband. You are not a husband only to be buying red roses. You are a husband to make sure your wife is growing in the word. The idea of a husband and a wife should not be monitored by worldly standards. As a believer, your standard must be that of heaven. And it says, wives, submit to your own husbands. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and died for the church. If you are a wife sitting beside your husband, turn to your husband and ask him, are you willing to die for me? Ask your husband, are you willing to die for me? Because that was the epitome of how Christ loved the church. He loved the church so much that he could die for the church. And he says, if you love your husband, you love yourself, because you are one flesh. How many of you wake up one morning and cut your hand with a knife? If you do that, they say you are sick. So why would you as a husband talk to your wife anyhow? Why would you as a husband abuse your wife? It ends in verse 33 saying, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects the husband. Respect is an important aspect in dealing with your husband. The idea of understanding how to treat your husband is very important. Respect your husband in words and in deeds. Let your actions show that you respect him. Don't say one thing with your mouth, yet your eyes are rolling more than 360 degrees. The idea of respect is godly. It's not any form of misogynistic idea, but it's godly to respect your husband. Children and parents, I read from Ephesians chapter 6, 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, that you may live long in the land. The idea of children obeying your parents. Obey your parents. The world has made it easy to make it look as though you can live a certain way of disrespect to your parents. And we ask ourselves, why are people dying in such a young age? Because one of the obligations, the rules that come with a promise of long life is obeying your parents. How do you obey your parents? How do you respond to them when they request something of you? How do you respond to them when they offend you? How do you respond to your parents when they require you to do something you don't want to do? Do you respect them, or do you think they are just an additional problem? How do you behave when you see your father calling you on the phone? Not again. How do you behave when your mother is telling you, I need to talk to you? When was the last time you spent quality time on phone with your mother? When was the last time you spent quality time on phone with your dad? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and honor your mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise. Do this so that you will live long. I highlighted three things. The Lord has ordained the composition of the family unit. The Lord has ordained the composition of the family unit. Husband, wife, children. There are God-given roles and responsibility that we must be aware of and must adhere to. There are God-given responsibilities. There are God-given roles that we must adhere to. Not because it's funny or it is good, it's helpful, but above all, they are God-given. And we must find them. We must search through Scripture, and we must adhere to them. And I ended on point three. Nothing made by God functions well outside its designated environment and principles established by the sovereignty of God. Nothing made by God will work well if it doesn't function the way God intended it to. The family will break if the principles of God are not upheld. The family will be destroyed if we do not uphold the divine audacity to which God has given us to run our families. Let's go ahead, and we want to look at specificalities with reference to each and every member of the family. So to the husbands, I read 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I want you to understand that the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is a husband. And the head of Christ is God. I read also from Genesis 18:17-19. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely bring a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have chosen him that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised him. One of the reasons why the Lord was so happy with Abraham was because he knew that Abraham was going to raise his family in the things of God. As a man, that is your greatest responsibility. Raising your family as a godly family. Raising your children as godly children. Letting your wife grow as a godly woman. That is the ordained responsibility of the head of the family. So the first point I wrote, the man is the head of the family. This is not based on his income. The man is the head of the family, not because of how much he brings home. The man is the head of the family, not because of his salary. He's the head of the family because of a divine appointment. And this reality is not for him to abuse. But in the second point, it says, to serve as a priest. What does it mean to be a priest of your family? Do you even understand what it means to be a priest of your family? Do you understand what it means to bring up your family in godliness? To provide. Do you provide direction for your family? Do you ensure that your family is well taken care of? Maybe at a point in your life, you may not be working, but do you still ensure that your family is well provided for? And to protect, do you protect your wife? Are you protecting your wife? Are you protecting your children? Do you understand the idea of protection? That is a godly idea. Beyond God, our family must be our topmost priority. I have a priority. God first. After God, my family. After family, work, ministry, whatnot. God first. After God is not my work. I make sure my family is well taken care of. And as a man, that should be your priority. Never let your family have lack of you. No matter the season you are in, make sure your children have you with them. Make sure your family know you are near. Even if there is distance, let them feel you. Let's go to the wives. I read Genesis 2:18. Then the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him. As a wife, you need to understand this. The Lord called you to be a blessing to your husband, to help your husband achieve his God-given purpose. So one question you should ask yourself, am I helping my husband to be the best he can be? Or am I just adding on to his problems? Titus chapter 2, verse 3 to 5. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderous or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so to train young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. A lot of women in these days who are married don't have older mentors. But the Bible is very clear. As a young woman, you need to have an older woman who can be a blessing to you. teaching you how to manage your home. So to the wives here, I want to encourage you. Find an older woman who can be a good mentor to you. Find an older woman who can give you advice on how to handle your husband. And I summarize in 3 points. One, the wife must help her husband to accomplish God's given purpose for the family. Help your husband to accomplish God's given purpose for the family. The second point, the wife is the manager of the home. Even if the wife is going to be working, make sure the home is well taken care of. As much as you may have eyes to help you, you are still the manager of your home. Have you ever wondered why it looks as though wives know everything in the house? So sometimes I can be looking for my wallet, and I'll be like, after 30 minutes of searching for my wallet, I'll shout, "Darling, where is my wallet?" And like an angel's voice, she shouts from the room, "Check under the pillow." And lo and behold, there it be, right under the pillow. "Darling, where is my socks?" I search and search the whole world, yet I findeth not the socks. Then she says, "Look, look in the cabinet on the right side," and there it be. The idea of the wife being the manager of the home is very important. And I want to say this to the wives present. There is this error under the sun which is making wives who have dedicated themselves to be stay-home mothers feel less than women who work in offices 8 to 5. That is a deception from the pit of hell. If you decide to be a stay-home mom, or if you decide to be a working woman, glory be to God. But never think as a wife, if I decide to take care of my children by staying at home, I am dealing less with myself and I'm wasting my life. That voice telling you you are wasting your life is not the voice of the Lord. Investing in your children is equally as good a work, if not more. Amen. Let's go to children. Proverbs 22, verse 6. "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Train up a child. Train up your child. Be interested in your children. Don't leave your children to Cocomelon. Don't leave your children to the school. Be interested in your children's life. Train them. Train your children. Every person is born into a family. And if the family is going to have it right by training them, we are going to see godliness in our society. Train your children. Train your children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 7. It says, "You shall teach them diligently to your children." Speaking of the covenant. How will you teach them? It says, "And shall talk of them while you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise." Children learn more by what they see, more than what you say to them. Children learn more by what they see than by what you are saying to them. You can't tell your children to build a habit of reading when the only thing you do is to be on your phone as a parent. You can't tell your children to go to church when you yourself don't show any enthusiasm for church. You can't tell your children to be speaking the truth when they always hear you lying on phone. Oh, I am not at home, but you are at home. Oh, I am very busy. I will be arriving in 5 minutes. I just finished dressing, but you just woke up. Your children are watching you, and they learn by what they see. So I wrote 3 things. Our children are very important to the Lord, and we will account for our children. We will account how we train our children in the Lord. We will account how we raise our children in the Lord. 2, we must be intentional about the upbringing of our children. Be very intentional about what your children are learning. Know their curriculum. Know their curriculum. And the 3rd point, pray. My mother told me, I did so many things for you guys, but I can boldly say, it's just by the grace of God that you all turned up well. Pray. Zechariah chapter 4 says, it's not by strength, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It doesn't mean don't play your part. Play your part, but depend on the Lord. Pray. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord that your children will grow in the right way. Now let's go to the last point before we get to 2 other important aspects. Discipline. Someone say discipline in the family. And I read, and have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the ones he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are an illegitimate child and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us. We respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirit and life? For they disciplined us for a short time, as it seemed best to them. But he disciplined us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Turn to someone, tell the person, discipline is important. Shake someone sitting beside, tell the person, discipline is important. Discipline your children. Discipline your children. It is a sign of love to discipline your children. It is a sign of love to discipline them. In fact, if you don't discipline them, your love for your child can be queried. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. Learn how to speak the truth. To your wife, to your husband, speak the truth. But most importantly, speak the truth in what? In what? I feel you. These topics I'm talking about today, they are quite a bit heavy. And they are pricking a lot of us. But I encourage you, discipline is important. The truth is important. It will yield much fruit. So discipline your children, and don't be afraid to speak the truth in your family. And I read 1 Timothy 5, 1-2. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. So when it comes to correction and discipline in the family, if you are a child, don't speak harshly to your father. Encourage your father in the right way. Dad, I think this will be better. He says, do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity. Purity begins in the heart. Don't correct, don't discipline, don't rebuke when your heart is not in the right place. Discipline when your heart is in the right place. I wrote 3 points. One, rebuke, correct, and discipline are acts of love and must be thoroughly practiced in our families. Two, we must apply gentleness. Be gentle. Be gentle. Three, we must appreciate and accept correction. Appreciate and accept correction. Anytime they correct you, that is the time you also want to say, but last week you also did this. Anytime your husband is drawing your attention to something, I did this because you did this. Learn how to accept corrections, especially we men. We men. Let's learn to accept corrections. Let's be teachable. Listen to your wife. When your wife is telling you, it's better for you to do it this way, listen. Amen. Now, our adversary, the devil. John 8:44. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of all lies. Till date, the devil is still fighting families with lies. Be careful about the lies of the devil. He wants to destroy the godly institution of family. Be very careful about the lies of the enemy, the lies of wealth, the lies of lust, the lies of pride. The devil will tempt you to destroy your family. I read 1 John 2:16. For all that is in this world, the desires of the flesh, the devil will tempt you with material things to destroy your family. Learn how to control your flesh. The desires of the eyes, be very mindful of the lust of the eyes. And it says, the pride of life. Pride is one of the major destructive agents of family. Turn to someone, tell the person, do not be proud. Shake someone by the shoulder, tell the person, do not be proud. So one, we must be aware of the devil and the schemes he brings to destroy our families. Two, we must show self-control and to overcome the temptations of the devil. Three, pray, pray, and pray. Pray for your family. Pray for your husband. Pray for your wife. Pray for your family more than you talk about your family. Pray about the issue more than you talk about the issue. The final quotation, walking in love and forgiveness. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 to 7. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Amen. Love is patient. Love is kind. How kind are you to members of your family?